Father, I just ask as I bring this word, God, that everybody in this place receives this as the encouragement that it's meant, Lord. God, let it be today that we look at one of your apostles and the fact of all the things that he went through, and we receive encouragement from this written history of those that have gone before us, Lord. God, that we might know that in the appointed time, you will have your way. But God, we must be patient for that appointed time. In Jesus' name, I pray for everyone here that they receive this. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. We're going to go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Paul is one of my heroes. Now, I don't think he was some Mr. Wonderful acting somebody. I think he was a purposeful man. That he got dynamically touched by God. He realized that his sin was open rebellion against God. He was even killing God's children. Whooping them. Beating on them. All those things. And one day, on the road to Damascus, he got struck to the ground by the Almighty God. And when he got up, he knew his life had to change. Amen? And in my life, I very much so feel the same kind of thing happened to me. That I had run my course, and God brought me to an end. And then he struck me down. And only when I promised him to give him my life, did I get up again and start to walk. But to this day, I do not think that I am anybody or anything. To this day, I am here telling you that God uses me because I've made a decision to be used. But I will not hurry His work. I will not look around and covet other things. I will spend my time every day doing what I'm supposed to do this day so that He can have His way in my life, and bring to pass the things He's ordained. I will not use my own thinking. I will not plan too tightly any form of life. I will lean on Him in every way and wait for Him to bring the things to pass that He has made the promises of to me. And what you have got to do is you have got to understand that patience must become a part of your life. Because if you do not recognize that, then frustration will destroy your destiny. You must just concede the point that God will have His way, but it will be in His time, not your assumed time. You cannot twist nor coerce nor pry God into hurrying. Are you hearing me today? You have got to wait for God to have His perfect work. And I'm going to start right here in verse 2 of chapter 1 of Galatians. And it said, to the churches of Galatia. Who is the church? Who is the church? We are the church. So this letter is to us from a great apostle many years ago. And he's trying to explain something to us. And God ordained it be in this Bible today so you might read it and be encouraged by it. You cannot rush the work of God in your life. You cannot put a timetable on it. You must let God ordain whatever. Daily. And day by day, He'll take you to where you need to be. It says to you, grace to you and peace from God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. What's He saying? He came to give you grace and peace to deliver you from the evil of this present age. Right? What it means is He will deliver you from your former life and bring grace and peace into your life. Amen? It doesn't say He's going to deliver everybody, but He says that He is delivering you. Some people choose not to be delivered. some people in this room choose not to be delivered. It is a choice that you make. Right? He goes on to say, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. What is the good news? Gospel is good news, right? And the good news is that God, Jesus Christ, through His hanging on the cross, has given you a new life if you receive it. It is a gift. You can't earn it. There's nothing you can do for it. You must receive it. It's a gift. You cannot earn salvation. You cannot work and receive the salvation. You must receive the gift. Lest any man get glory. Now, I came from Little Italy's across the country. And when I found out that the old mustache Pete, the wise guys, the boys that were part of the mob, when they get to be about 50, 60 years old, if they live that long, which was doubtful, but they get to be about 50, 60 years old, that they had money. And about then they start showing up at the rectory, at the church, and they pay for gold statues, and they pay for additions to the church, and they pay for this and that. Because they knew that there was a heaven and there was a hell. But they didn't want to change their life. But they wanted to bribe God to be able to get into heaven. And I'm telling you today, you can't bribe God. Amen? You can't buy your way in. And you can't work your way in. You have to receive the gift so that no man will get the glory. When I first went to church, they stuffed me in the suits and ties and all that noise and nonsense. And I'm telling you today, suits and ties don't save you. Beautiful gowns and dresses and you walking and talking properly do not save you. It is the blood of Jesus that has saved you. And there is nobody that can take that away. But you have got to embrace it and receive it. Amen? You must accept it through faith. You must believe through faith that this gift is yours. What does that mean? You must choose to believe that He has given it to you. And recognize you have done nothing to earn it. If you think you have to earn it, then you are not accepting the grace that He has given you. You better listen to me. I'm telling you something. I am free today because I believe the truth. You can be free today if you believe the truth. But if you believe that there are strings attached, then you do not understand the truth. The truth is you are saved by grace. The shed blood of Jesus, you cannot earn it. You don't walk towards it. You cannot buy it. But you must walk in it. Did you get that? You walk in His grace. What does that mean? That you now love Him because you accept what He has given you. And then you walk with Him in His grace, knowing you're not going to be perfect, but always striving for perfection. It becomes the intention of the heart to do what He wants you to do instead of what you want to do. Because you recognize the gift that He has given you. You are not saved through works. Some people call me a legalist. That's a lie. You can look at me, and if you're honest with yourself at all, there's no way you can tell me that I am a legalist. When I walk down into places where people don't know me, people still try to sell me dope. Amen? They want me to go to this party, and they want me to go to that party. I am the least of the least and plan on staying there. I want to be the one that when I walk through a crowd, I am just like everybody else and nobody can tell nothing about me except for my smile and what I speak to them. I never want religion. I want God's grace and mercy in my life. I want His power in my life. You cannot earn your way into heaven. You cannot buy your way into heaven. You have to accept the gift and walk in it. And that's how you get into heaven. And when I say accept it and walk in it, thank you, God. Thankful hearts. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you would save a sinner like me. Thank you, Lord. God, help me. Show me what you want me to do. That is how you receive the gift. Amen? I'm sick of people that are always trying to earn things. You know, people tell me, well, you're harsh on me. No, I'm telling you, if you came here, you came here to learn a new way to live. And I'm going to show you a new way to live. But I'm the teacher. You're the student. The student doesn't tell the teacher how to teach. Did you get that? Why? Because I'm the one that has the new life. You're the one that wants the new life. You can't tell me. I'm telling you. So don't bring your religious judgmental crap into this place. Amen? Know this, that I teach you what I know works because I've learned what does work because I've applied it in my life and you need to apply it too. I am here telling you, you are not saved through works. You're not saved through money. You are saved through God's grace. And that is the good news. That is the gospel, and it is available for who? Everybody. Everybody. Big or small. Fat or skinny. In between. All, everybody, everybody, everybody. Black, white, green, yellow, orange, or pink. God loves us all the same. That's the good news. Amen? So if you sit there and you go to somebody and they tell you anything else and they did it to me, they said, well, Dominic, you need to change your appearance. You need to look like you're saved. Hey, you know what? I look like I'm saved. Look at me. I look like my dad. His name is God. And if you read about Jesus, when he was in a crowd, nobody could recognize him from anybody else. You understand? I don't got to look like some great this or that. I got to be me, who God made me. It is an inside thing. It is not an outside thing. I am free. And I want you to be free too. I really hate religion, but I love God. Why? Because he gave you the greatest gift. Religion doesn't give you a gift. It gives you bondage. I've had enough bondage. I'm good in bondage. I can write books on bondage. The fact is, God gave me freedom. And that's the gift that he gives each of all. It says in verse 8, it says, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. He's saying, if anybody tries to come up and wrap you in the cloth of religion, let him be cursed. And I'm here telling you that I feel the same way. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you, that and that which you have received, let him be cursed. For I do not persuade men, for do I not persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. You see, I'm going to do what's right because it's right. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do because I'm supposed to do it. I'm not going to do it for men. I'm going to do it for God. I'm not going to do what men tell me to do just to make them happy. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do to make God happy. Amen. It says, for I do not persuade men, or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. No man shed his blood for me. No man laid down his life for me. God Jesus laid down his life for me, and I will serve the Lord. Amen. Amen. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. It can't be. The gospel cannot be according to man. It has got to be according to God. Because no man can define it, but God can. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. You got to get this. You see, what happens when you get saved is you need to seek Him, God, with your everything. Amen? You need to seek God with your everything. And it's not going to just happen overnight that you get revelation. It's not going to happen the first year. It's probably not going to happen the second year. I really think it takes 4 or 5 years before you start to get a balance in your life of truth versus what you want to be the truth. Amen? Because we take the world into Christianity with us, and we want to compare the truth of Christ with the world, and there is no comparison. There is none. There is zero. They do not compare at all. So you got to die in order to live, and the death does not come suddenly. It comes as you will yourself to die in order to live. Amen? So it says, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. What does it say? That I stayed away from others as God was ministering in me. You see, I let God work in me. I did not take a position of authority. I did not walk out trying to take a position of authority. I wanted the truth of God in me. And you must get that same opinion of the truth in you. You must wait for God to bring revelation into your life before you assume a position of leadership. Amen? Because it's not going to happen overnight. He goes on to say that he went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. After 3 years, I went and sought out who I knew was a man of God and spent a couple weeks with him. Right? But I saw none of the other apostles except for James, the Lord's brother. Now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed before God, I do not lie. He says, I was seeking all that time the things that God had for me. Right? Afterwards, I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by faith to the churches of Judea who were in Christ, but were hearing only, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy, and they glorify God in me. Amen. What he's saying is that everybody knew what I used to do, but now they were hearing what I am doing. You see, before you are going to have that place that you need to preach the gospel, to go out and do those things, you are going to have to spend a time where people are going to see you performing, not listening to what you have to say. Amen? I am the worst case scenario. I do not like any part of my old life. And I knew when I met the Lord, it was going to be years before anybody would believe or listen to anything that had happened to me. Why? I'd always been a hustler. I'd always been the worst case scenario. I'd always been a person that would work the system, that would work everything around me. And I knew, and the Lord showed me, that I must become a servant to all and do right. Day after day, week after week, while I stayed steadily on my face so that I might be washed and purified by His Holy Spirit, that I might be clean, a clean vessel unto Him, to do the good works that He proposed for me. Are you hearing me? You cannot come out of a life of sin and degradation and expect all of a sudden, bang, you're there. It is going to take a washing and a fellowship in God that is so close and so tight that other people will not understand it. But some people in this room do understand what I'm saying today. You have got to wait for the appointed time. Now listen, He's already done 3 years. And now it talks again. And then it says, after those 3 years, listen. In chapter 2 it says, then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also took Titus with me, some fruit and some brothers. You understanding? I have been about my Father's business. I have been steady about the things that He has assigned me. Here is my fruit. I'm bringing some. Here I am. And I went up by revelation, which means I waited until God gave me revelation. I didn't insert myself. Do you understand? I didn't make myself be somebody. I did not come across in the church as a flesh monster, but I sat in the back and let God elevate me. Too many of us want to sit in the front. I want to sit in the back. You let God elevate you, and He will. Don't elevate yourself. So it says, and I went up by revelation and communicated to them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I may run or had run in vain. And this is my text today. This is my text. 2:2. Always remember this. The truth is, He shows you that in fact that He did repent. And the way you know He did repent is He did the works of God. He did not try to be who He was. He became nothing so that He might be who He was supposed to be. You understand? He was from the school of Gamaliel. He was of the religious rite of the day. He was the one that had the right bloodline, had the right family relations, had the right schooling, education, and everything. But when God came into his life, He recognized the fallacy of what He's been about in His life, and He allowed Himself to be totally broken and humbled and pushed down so that He might be washed and purified and overflowing in the Spirit. He allowed everything that was in Him to no longer be so that He could become who God wanted Him to be. It did not happen overnight. There was not a hurry to it. He was not hurrying the things of God. Too many in the church today will think that they got divine revelation after 6 months in God. How dare you think that you are that smart that quick? You are carnal and worldly, and the things that you have inside of you are of the world. And you must wait until you become washed and clean, which will come after time before you step in and do great works for God. You see, I want you to understand that Paul is one of my heroes. I do not know anybody that plays football. I do not know anybody that plays basketball. I do not know what's on the TV talk shows. I do not know who's who on even the newscasters. But I will talk to you anytime about the Bible. Because I was the worst of the worst. And God ordained that I be one of His children. And from that day to this day, I am not arrived, but I am striving. I am not in a hurry to be up here. I am content with wherever I am. You see, people, there are too many of us that will try to push ourselves forward, and because we push ourselves forward, we also allow ourselves to fall back down. You cannot stand in the body of Christ on your strength. You can only stand in the body of Christ in His grace and mercy. You have got to get this through yourself that you did think wrong, you did live wrong, that you were a great sinner no matter what the sin was. And you must not push through until the appointed time when God lifts you up and through what you've gone through. If Paul had to wait 17 years to even go talk to the church, who are we to insert ourselves and want to go talk to the church immediately with some kind of vision or dream? All the time our pastors are talking to geniuses. Well, the Lord spoke to me here. Well, the Lord spoke to me there. Well, this is of God. That is of God. Why don't you give God time to speak into your life? Why do you got to assume just because you got a thought that it came from God? Why don't you wait until you learn the difference between God and demons who sound like God? Why is it that you want to put yourself in a position that will hurt others because you are a novice and do not know the truth? There are too many novices that are teachers in the church and they have not paid the price to learn, although they may have gone to school. I'm here to tell you today that I have let God do whatever He wanted in my life, and I did not pick nor choose anything but let Him have His way. I did not look for position nor authority of any kind. I made one decision. I'm going to serve You, God. And You tell me what I'm going to do. And whether I like it or not, I'll do it anyway. You see, you have got to get to a place in your life where you wait for this to happen by His grace and mercy in your life. Now, I'm not going to tell you it's going to take you 17 years, but I will tell you it ain't going to take you 2 or 3 or 4. You need to become established holy in God before you start any kind of a ministry. Amen? Novices hurt the church. How many teachers are in discipleship right now?
One.
Me. And I am teaching others how to teach. Are you understanding me? I am teaching others how to teach, not by their revelation, but by what has already been taught them. It will be years before even the people I am teaching now get true, honest revelation from God, that they will be at that place where God will be able to pour through them without picking up the flesh that still rests inside of them. Are you understanding what I'm saying? My people will not be teaching new revelation. They will be teaching what they've been taught. And if I catch them teaching new revelation, then I'm going to give them my size 9 and an open door. Because too many people in the church today are hurt by novices that do not know what they speak. You see, that's why we must wait for these things to come to pass in our life. You teach somebody wrong, it is hard to get that out of them. But if you teach somebody right, they'll have that forever. You mostly do not have fear of the Lord as a teacher. I know that anything I speak, if it is offline, I will pay a price for that. Novices do not even understand what the price is. You see, we must wait and be patient. Amen? And learn what God is trying to do with us. We must learn what it means to be broken. I sit there in my worst days when I'm going through it, and I walk down the halls where, glory! Thank You, Lord, that You count me worthy to go through this persecution, this trial, or this thing. Because that is a purification process that is for all of you. But most of you won't stand still for 6 months. But you'll go to another church and proclaim yourself somebody. And I'm telling you, it should not ought be so. The other thing that you must do is make sure you do not become distracted. If you read about Paul, Paul was very focused on what? God, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, power. He lived his life for those things. He didn't spend no time around the world except winning the lost to Christ. You are too worldly in this place to have revelation power yet. You must allow God to break you down so that you might be clean, and then let God put you back together one step at a time. People, it takes time. Amen? It takes time. Let me tell you this, that I believe in all my heart. There are great leaders and great teachers in this room. I think there's going to be great preachers and great evangelists come out of this place. I believe that in all my everything. But you see, why is it that everybody wants to take one step forward and fall back two? How come we don't want to just do that slow progression thing where every step we take is established forever and we just keep going forward? Why do we want to go like this and then get off balance and tumble back down the hill? Why don't we want to just let God have His perfect work in us? Let me tell you this today, people. Paul is one of the greatest men of God I ever met. I like him more than Moses. I put it right up there alongside Elijah. I really like Elijah and Elijah. Amen? But I like Paul the most because I've learned the most from his life. He has showed me things that are human and true in my life. I came out of a wrong lifestyle, and when I was reading about Paul, I used to sit there by myself going, yep, that's right. Yep, that's right. Yep, I understand. That's right. But I was blessed and cursed. And I was blessed because I was older in years. I allowed the wisdom to settle instead of rushing. And I was cursed because I felt like I had wasted so many years of my life. And then I went on and he showed me how that even the bad would be turned around to the good. And I was blessed again. Everything I'd been through that was wicked, he would use for his good. But you see, if I would not have taken the time to be by myself with God, totally on my face, on the carpet, daily, for years, daily, by myself, for years, I would not have revelation. I would not have strength. I would not have relationship to go through the things that I have to go through today. Are you hearing me today? You cannot be distracted. I sit there all the time and I watch people with great potential. Great potential. God will use anybody. And you can see God using them. But they fail. And the reason why they fail is because they were not yet seasoned when they started. I said they were not yet seasoned when they started. And what I'm telling you is, I see people come in here. Let me tell you, the biggest ruiner of people that are leaders in this place is relationships. They pick the wrong person. They fantasize about the wrong thing. They decide, now it's time to get married. They decide, this is the one. That's the one for me. And they say things like, well, God showed me in a vision. I'm here telling you that you have got to be washed pure before you even truly understand what a vision is. Amen? Because you may get a vision, but you will interpret it according to what you think you know. And as I've explained in this room before, a lot of times that vision will be for future with people you do not even know. But you don't know that as a novice. You don't understand that when you're growing in the Lord. You want to hurry and get on top of the pile because you don't like being on the bottom of the pile. That's your flesh. I'm going to tell you right now, I would rather live in first phase of this discipleship program than anywhere else. Do you know why? Because they laughingly work about 2 hours a day, and if they would use their time right, they could have 10 or 12 in the Word of God every day. Hallelujah! What better life could you live? Are you hearing me? But people are always trying to elevate themselves. What's your hurry to be in charge if you're not equipped? I'm going to tell you, the demonic attack will come against you and against your family more than ever before. I'm going to tell you that people will pour their misery out upon you like you cannot believe. I'm going to tell you, you can't walk 100 feet without somebody stopping you and wanting something from you. Are you ready for that? Really? Do you think so? You see, you must be seasoned first. And seasoning comes over time. You may indeed get a vision, but you need to wait for the appointed time of that vision. I sit in this room and I tell you, I know what God has for me. But do you see me rushing in any direction? Not at all. I am patient. I am going to let God have His perfect work. If I hurry His timing, I'm going to make it all fall apart. But if I wait for Him, His supply of the need comes alongside in the right time, and I know it's time. You must quit hurrying. You must allow God to break you and rebuild you. You must spend that quality time with God. You must wait for that appointed time. You must not be distracted by people you think are supposed to be your mate. You must not be distracted by people that will take you in wrong direction. Every time I have had to make a great ministry decision in my life, you better take notes on this, because it's going to happen every time in your life also. There always comes a Y in the road. And one side is looking kind of close what God's will is, and it's always a little easier. And the other side is God's will, and it's always a little harder. Human nature, if you're not seasoned, will have you take the wrong path. But if you are seasoned in God, you will recognize the feint of the devil. It says in the Bible that you must learn to recognize the wiles of the devil. And the devil is an imitator of the things of God. And on one side, you'll see what looks like it could be true, and it's just close enough, you want to accept it. And on the other side, something looks a little harder, and you don't want it to be true. And that invariably is God's path for you. Whenever I have had to make a major ministry decision, there is always the feint of the devil that would take me off course. And there is always the path of God, which is going to challenge me to die more, to do more, to stretch further than ever before. A novice always takes the easy road. And a veteran of the spiritual war always takes God's will. You've got to listen to this today. You must wait and have that time in God. Get seasoned in order to understand the things I am talking about today. You got to listen to what I'm telling you. You must learn to be patient and quit trying to elevate yourself on the backs of others. A lot of people will come to me and say a whole lot of things because they believe they can do it better than whoever I have doing it. But that's only because you are a flesh monster. The truth is, if you were spiritual, instead of sniveling about your brother, you would be praying for your brother and lifting him up. Instead of whining and complaining and bitching about how mean he is, you would be praying that God, through the Spirit, be in his life more than any other. So when you come up to me and tell me whatever about somebody I have put in position, I now recognize how carnal you really are and how little you really know about God and the things of God. And I also recognize how far you have to go before I could ever trust you in any kind of a leadership position. You see, the things that you will learn in this room are lessons that we all need to learn. Nobody likes them. Nobody wants to hear them. But you probably never did like the truth. So why would this be any different? I am here to teach and preach the wisdom of God Almighty as written in His Word. The examples I will use will be men of God that are proven. There is no real new revelation. It is God, Jesus Christ, crucified for your sins. And through His grace and mercy and your submission to Him, you can do great things in your life. But you and your best thoughts and attitudes have got you nowhere in God. The best decision you ever made was to accept God as Savior. The next great decision you need to make is make God your Lord and submit. There is no other path. And it takes time to go from a flesh monster to a spiritual man of war for God. It takes time to go from a flesh monster to a spiritual woman of war for God. And you can't skip anything you don't like. You must go through every step in order to get to where God would have you to be. And you know what, people? Paul was a great man. He already knew the Bible. I mean, he was raised in the best places. But he was all the way wrong. I'm telling you today, you need to be seasoned. It's going to take you some time before you get to where you're going. Just be patient. Keep your nose on the carpet. Your hands in the air praising Him. Asking Him, begging Him every day for more and more and more of Him. And when you do that, you see, in the appointed time that is to come, God will elevate you. You'll just be on top looking like, how did I get here? And the truth is, He's already showed you. The greatest man of God is the greatest servant. Amen? And you got to learn to be a great servant before you're ever going to get a chance to be a great leader. Which means you need to submit, obey for a long time. No sniveling. No whining. And when you get past that, now you're starting to be in the spot where you can be used of God. Hallelujah. Father, I just ask today, Lord, that this word be brought into their hearts, that they just begin to understand the truth, that God, there will always be the why in the road, and the easy one will almost always, to the rookie, look like the one to take. And I'm here to tell you today, God, that I ask that you impart to them what you've imparted to me, that there is no easy road. And there is never going to be an easy road, because your road for us is to challenge us to be all that we can be. And God, help us today and strengthen us in a way that we might get this thought inside of ourselves that we love you, God, and we will serve you, and we will wait, God. Help us to wait. Help us to keep our nose on the carpet. Help us to keep our hands in the air praising you, and help us to be a supporter of our brothers and our leaders instead of a terror downer. In Jesus' name I pray, and everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.